So, first, I don't see Americans, I hear them. Because you guys are a bit
This is
loud
true.
sometimes. You have a loud accent and we can really distinguish.
Well, hello and welcome to our very first episode of Rhythm in Rome. We are so excited to have you here as our listeners, or if you're watching. We love to travel. My name is Beneth. I'm here with Paul and Trisha. We're travelers. We've lived all over the world. We've worked all over the world. And we just want to share those experiences with you and talk about the cultural similarities, differences, misconceptions that we've experienced on our travels. And yeah, like super excited to be here. So Paul, go ahead, introduce yourself.
Yeah. So thank you, Beneth. And I'm also excited that, we're starting this Rhythm in Rome podcast. I'm really excited. I've always been wanting to do a podcast for ages now, and I feel like it's coming to fruition. So yes, I'm Paul Island, and I actually live in Paris, but I'm originally from New York and went to school down in Florida. And I'm hoping that our discussions and our topics will be something that is going to be impactful for the audience and be able to get audience's feedback and be able to go on from there. And I look forward to, our lively discussions.
So I'm Trisha, and I am also very excited to be here. First of all, in being able to meet Beneth, because this is actually, we haven't been friends from this point. We were introduced by Paul. So the fact that we're now together here on a podcast is just really exciting. I that's actually one of my passions is, being able to meet new people and talk to them and get great ideas. So and just kind of meld in what that is, to be in someone's space, someone else's space. So that's what we're hoping that we can impart on you is, being in our space and in our heads, and hopefully we'll find a lot of similarities. So looking Yay. Forward to being together and talking more about travel.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. So Beneth Varel here, and I'm a retired military officer. So I have seen and experienced a lot of things during my travels, and Paul and I were in the military together. So yeah. And speaking cool. of military, speaking of travels, we're all American. And, there are perceptions of Americans that travel. I know that you've probably heard of the ugly American. And you saw the video that with Paul's friend, Seb, who was talking about Americans. So yeah, that's what we're discussing today. Perceptions of Americans when they travel. It can be, interesting.
In many
Shall
ways.
We watch the video, the interview?
Yes. But just to give a little bit more texture to it, it was one of those things, as I said, I thought this would be a great topic for us to start off with and discussing. And right. I appreciate my friend Seb and Natalia for being able to do this. They were really excited to do this because they really love culture themselves, and they love to be able to understand when new people from all different backgrounds come to our country or to their countries. And I was afforded the opportunity to ask him several different questions from just that normal American traveler, as well as, someone of color who may be nervous about going to certain different places. And I could tell you, right. I have been in that situation many times before. So without further ado, we'll watch it and then we'll come back and discuss a bit more. What are some perceptions you have when you see an American travel to your country, to France, and what perceptions do you say stands out to you?
So, first, I don't see Americans, I hear them, because you guys are a bit loud sometimes. You have a loud accent and we can really distinguish. I think you people are perceived as being like wealthy. You spend money in Paris because you love Paris.
Okay.
some of you might mistake Paris as being a country or a continent, as the cliche hears it. But yeah, and I think you maybe love the cliches, Emily in Paris and stuff.
We definitely do love our Emily in Paris. Okay, so I'm going to put a twist on that. Tell me, how is your perception when you see a Black American or someone of color traveling into your country? What is your perception then?
I don't judge. I mean,
me for one.
I think France is a very diverse country. You have a lot of races, a lot of religions.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up in the south of France, where you have a lot of people from Maghreb, from Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, also from Black Africa, Ivory Coast. Mm-hmm. So I'm personally used to seeing people of colors. So I'm not shocked. I'm just like,
so you don't think I'm 50 Cent the rapper or something like this or whatever?
No, I thought you were Will Smith.
No, this is good.
I'm just happy. I embrace diversity. So,
and this is one reason why this would be interesting to note whenever someone of color is traveling and they see things where people don't all look like them. Come to a different country. So thank you, Seb. This was interesting and very enlightening. Thanks. All right. So that was a mouthful.
No, that was, oh my God. No, that's hilarious, because when he was like, oh, I don't see them, I hear them, I was dying. I laughed so hard because I've been told that my voice is like booming. And in fact, in Japan, there was a woman, I was talking with friends in the neighborhood. This woman, Japanese woman, came out and she started banging a pot. This is what you sound like. And I was like, damn. I'm sorry. Yes.
Actual visual.
Yes, she visual banged the pot.
But so, you know,
I know we're loud.
Look, it's absolutely true. We're definitely that. And I thought, and let me just preface it by saying, I did not coach him. I did not prepare him. I just said, right off the cuff, can you do a quick interview with me? About XYZ, and this is
I mean, just thinking about what he, you know, what he was just in that moment when he said that. I mean, you instantly were like, "Yep, we're loud. Yep, we are."
Absolutely.
Did you not just identify?
No, I did because it's funny. I've been living now here I've been living now here like 2.5 years now in Paris, almost 2.5 years now in Paris. Believe it or not. And I can easily say every time I get on the metro or if I'm walking, I know my peeps, you know, we're always like, we are loud. And then now I'm so used to getting used to the culture here in Paris. And I'm on the train and I'm just like, I'll hear someone. I'm like, oh, do you have to be that loud? Why are you that loud? And
it's true though. It's true.
Yeah. And I can, because it's unfortunate, but
yeah, we had the same thing in Japan, and we were coached as Americans when we go to like the cultural classes, when you first arrive in country on a military base, they tell us to be quiet, don't talk in the train.
Don't do that.
So now we're like terrified, like everyone must be quiet. Yes. And I mean, so we're just,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting that is that way. And you know, I think the to dig a little bit more into what my friend mentioned is, why do we feel that we have a need to do that? Is it because how we're taught that, oh, we're Americans, damn it, so whenever we come in, everybody needs to see us because we are the shit, we are this
America.
You know, the cockiness. Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's an interesting question that you should ask that, because I, you know, with us just talking about it now, I'm thinking like, what is that about us that is it just things louder here? So we feel like we need to talk or we need to be heard. Is it because America in general is more materialistic and individualistic that we feel that we need to, get our point across. So therefore we're louder or more vocal?
Yes, I think the individualism has something to do with it, because we do identify as individuals versus as a collective.
Collective,
so we're
exactly.
more about sharing, making sure that we're heard versus fitting in with everybody. I think everyone wants to be different. And other cultures, that's just not the case. Like in Japan, they have a saying that the tall tree catches more wind. They don't want to stand out. Whereas we're like, I'm, you know, this is who I am. You're going to take it, leave it. I don't care. Right, and maybe right. that has something to do with being loud.
And does it have to do with our laws too as well? Because not only just a cultural part, because every time someone tries to cut you off or say, be quiet or something like that, I know I've done it before. And I say, don't try and tell me to shut up. Mm-hmm. This is a free country, you know, or I have the freedom exactly. to say whatever I want, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
The pot. Yeah.
I did find it interesting that he said that they think we're all wealthy. And I mean, what do they mean? Because when I think wealthy, that I don't mean, yes, we have enough money, but I don't think I'm wealthy. I don't know what he meant by that.
I think he means, and this is something that I've heard even, you know, living in other parts of the world and stuff like this. And even when I lived in Germany, I think it's because of our media and the movies, because majority of the world see movies and they see the first thing I remember when I used to live in Germany was the first thing I tell them I'm from New York City and they go, oh my God, Sex and the City. So they all think we all live like this. And I'm like,
yes,
I do not go to these places once a month, if that, because these places can cost a lot of money, you know, and stuff like that. So, and it could be different. Because you're in Texas, Trisha, and I was just about to say, you're in Texas, and I don't know if it's the same.
Everything's bigger in Texas, you know, and we got bigger houses, we got bigger land, you know, our houses, just everything. So it could very well be just, again, it has to, it definitely is television. I feel that's, that's really the key. And also, I mean, think about it too. Think about the ambassadors. All right. If it's not us, think about of our ambassadors who actually go and, that actually go to Europe or go to Europe first. And that is through music, through television, through politics, through all these different areas. Yeah. And if you have ever watched any of our politicians or you've watched any of our, you know, anything that has to do with American culture, it is bigger. It is larger than life, if you will. So
we're always on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So how is. Right.
Yeah.
So how, that's funny.
Yeah. It's funny that you said with the Texas thing, because I met two British officers and I was trying to imitate having a
British accent.
I can't even do it now, but they thought that we all talked, when they tried to do it, they had like, everyone talked with a Texas accent, like, and they could only do like two phrases. Howdy, y'all. I'm like, that is not, you know, we don't all talk like that. Where are you getting that from? I don't even like, what TV are you watching? How old is this TV?
It's funny you mentioned that too as well. Yeah,
I think that you have to go back to history too. And if we're talking about television, I mean, some of our biggest shows back in the day, and I'm referencing like back in the 80s, you know, some of the biggest shows were Dynasty and Dallas, and those things were in multi-languages. It was nothing but dripping with money and oil, and you know what I mean? So it's not surprising. And I had to think about that as well, you know, being here, you know, in Texas and what people think, because it's about to be rodeo season.
So, need I say more?
It's starting. It's starting. And it really is like that. I'm not kidding you. And I'll have to share video with you, because I actually now need to go to, we are going to the rodeo. My husband got tickets through his job and we are actually going to the rodeo cookout. So I'm definitely going to take the opportunity.
You're giving up your New York City card.
Never. Oh my God. Nope. Always a Brooklyn baby. Always Brooklyn. But I do pay taxes here. So we're going to need, but you all are going to, you're really going to see what it's like.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, thinking about that though, you know, those were our first, you know, those are the first things that, you know, I would think that Europeans see, you know, is music and television. So of course,
we're all rock stars.
Trisha, you got me thinking on something you mentioned, because you just mentioned about you're going to show videos about the rodeo and stuff like this. That's a piece of culture part that, because I lived in Oklahoma too as well, and rodeo is pretty big there too as well.
Yes, it is.
And I have to say, I'm still nervous and scared to go to places like that because I'm Black and I don't think I belong. That's just me. And yeah. I don't know where I get this from. Maybe because, again, we talked about TV and what we see and what we perceive. That's right. How it is. When you look on the TV, because ESPN carry the major rodeo that goes to Madison Square Garden.
Right.
And you look at the audience. I don't see nobody in the audience that look like me. It's just of late you start to see a Black rodeo performer or something like this. But I'll be interested to see and get your thoughts on, I'm assuming you've been there before. I've never been to a rodeo, by the way. And that's
many
one
times.
Reason why I haven't.
One
I've
rodeo.
Not been.
Been to one.
I've been too uncomfortable to go to that.
Have you been?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, Benef, have you ever been to a rodeo there in Colorado?
The one that you went to? It was the one that I went to was either in Wisconsin or Michigan. And
okay.
I mean, I don't remember much. It was a long, long time ago. I do remember I got mud in my mouth. Mm. My dad was like, well, close your damn mouth then. I was like laughing or something, and a horse or whatever rode by.
Well, that is wild that you say that, because I've had actually the opportunity not only to go, because the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is one of the biggest rodeos that are here, that I guess within that circuit, because there are smaller rodeos, and those cowboys and folks that are, are mutton busting and doing what they're doing there, they actually compete so that they can come to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. It's a big championship, okay. Apparently.
But what? So how comfortable were you is the question.
I'm
what
very comfortable.
Was your, but I mean, like, did you feel, because for me, I literally would feel nervous, scared. I don't know
you
why would, in my head.
You wouldn't be if
I
you
was
saw,
nervous.
Yeah, you wouldn't be if you saw the melting pot. Like, I mean, and also steeped in history. I mean, just know that the whole cowboy rodeo, the whole thing.
Oklahoma
that came,
has the history.
That came from the Bandidos. That was Mexico. Period. Because as you remember, Texas was part of Mexico. And the way that the cowboys dress, that is actually from the Mexicans. So
I went
that
to
the
Black
the
Cowboy Museum in Oklahoma when I lived there.
Yeah.
I didn't even
there
know there was
tons of
thing.
Black cowboys. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't even know it until I lived in Oklahoma.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very much part of our culture as much as it is popular culture now here in Texas. I mean, it's a Southern thing, if you will, because of this part of the country, but it's very much steeped in who we are as Americans,
Americans are essentially melting pot country. And you asked Seb how he felt about, seeing people of color traveling in Paris. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing. Paris is very diverse, or not Paris, but France in general is very diverse.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know that it originally was, but, because they colonized.
It wasn't.
It is now.
It wasn't.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why.
But no. The answer that he gave on that is, it's not the first time I heard it from him, but I heard it from other people from all over, not only from even France, but even when Germany or when I'm in Italy. Like, I just feel most people are like, no, it's not a big deal. And if it is a deal, they will, they'll let you know in so many ways and stuff like this too as well. But I think Americans, we make it more of a bigger issue because it does impact us more, unfortunately, because of our history and things we deal with even to today. So that's why I think it's fascinating to have a podcast like this that talks the travel from all aspects, as well as on top of that, the culture, adding in there the stereotypes and so on like this, because I do feel, and we'll get into it in other podcasts too as well, because Seb mentioned about, with the fact that I don't see the color and stuff. Well, it is true, at least here in France, because, for example, on job applications or anything like this, there is nothing on there that says I'm Black, I'm white, African-American, or whatever it is. It just says French. And that causes issues here, too, as well.
Yeah.
Because then we get French people that says, with the religious part, oh, you should not be wearing that. You're French now. Keep that stuff at home. And You should not be naming your kid of a different of your where you came from. You should be named a Christian French name or something like this. But we'll get into that another time. So that's real what he was saying.
Well, we do have another video to watch. You did a second interview with Seb and his, is it wife or girlfriend?
No. Oh, she would love to hear you say that, but.
All right, Seb, you're on notice.
You don't notice, Seb. No, it's his girlfriend.
Okay.
It's his girlfriend, Natalia. Great. Like I said, and I should have prefaced by saying I knew them because they were both my neighbor when I was in Luxembourg City and didn't even know they spoke English. And then one day they heard me again, the loud American. Wow,
that's right. That's right. The loud they American. Actually came and left a and note for came, you because you were too loud.
I was too loud. And ever since then, we got to talking and understood each other's culture, and we hit it off right off the bat after we understood each other. And I thought it was a great thing, and it's perfect, and we've been friends ever since. And she has a different angle and aspect to it because she's from the eastern part of Europe. I just want you to hear what she has to say because she has a fascinating story, and I think, you know, the audience and Americans in general should hopefully take heed to it.
Well, let's watch.
Hi, my name is Natalia. I'm from Slovakia. Currently, I live in Luxembourg for almost 10 years and a proud European. Well, I'm from Slovakia, but on top of it, I'm from the eastern part of Slovakia. So that's quite far away from the opposite side of the from the capital. So I don't think I have ever seen any American in my hometown.
So a few tips and tricks I would recommend. First, maybe learn a few words of French when you go in the bakery, that you at least not say bonjour, au revoir, s'il vous plaît, merci. I think the basics, it really help. People really like when you do some efforts. Don't be offended if people don't understand your French. It's okay. At least you tried. So just don't be offended by the Parisian attitude. Yeah, okay. Be mindful of this. You might encounter some strong behaviors, so to say, if they don't understand you speaking English, because they don't speak English and we don't very well speak English as French people. So just keep this in mind. It's okay.
So the name of the city is Košice. It's in the eastern part. It's the second biggest city. And I also need to make a correction to my previous response, because I actually do have family in the US. So part of my family emigrated long time ago to the US, and they did come for a visit. But you know, this is a family, so I don't think about them like Americans coming too. But they did come to visit us already, and we go to see them also this year. So I have to correct my previous response. And I think, yes, general, so people are traveling more and more now. And people in Slovakia are generally quite welcome to tourists. They are, of course, it's not as diverse. You cannot compare it to New York or to Paris, my hometown. You cannot definitely compare it to those cities. So people are not used to so much to diversity. Mm-hmm. But I think I would say just go. And people need to go. It needs to become a bit more diverse so that people will be happy to see you there. Slovaks, they love tourists. And they will be very welcoming, and I think you should go, and they need to get to terms with diversity. And I encourage everyone to come to visit Slovakia and to come to my hometown, and I can give you tips, and so go, please.
Sorry, go ahead,
Trisha. Okay, what I thought was interesting is as Natalia kept speaking, and you kept bringing in the fact that she was, you know, that you were a Black man, you know, visiting Slovakia, she kept saying they see us as color, as tourists. You kept trying to bring it to color, but she kept saying they, you know, tourists.
Yes.
It's like almost she like doesn't she have had a no concept. Yeah, no. She, there's no reference to that, which I found so refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that is very true. And I think that's another thing that fascinates me about Europe versus obviously things that's happening on our side, the North America, and as well, you know, Canada and stuff like this. And I think there's no reference because, again, they don't have diversity to make that reference. They only know what they see on TV, American TV or Western European TV stations that talks about this stuff or sing about things like this and stuff like that. So, and I know Natalia wants me to visit, which I'm probably going to do. Not now.
Well, now we all have to go visit.
Yeah, right. But it's too cold. Yeah. I don't want to go when it's too cold. And she will understand. It gets cold. I've been to Bratislava before, but Bratislava is very touristy because it's right next to Prague.
So I have a question. Are we, as Americans, are we hyper-focused on color because we are diverse and we see that and we clash more than a country like Slovakia? I mean, Germany is initially not a diverse country, but when you start getting immigrants in, you know, then yeah, the diversity comes and they do have clashes. I mean, it's not like they're all okay with the immigrants going into Germany, and the same thing with France.
So I think it's copycats. Honest to God, I think a lot of the things, the clashes and all this stuff, I call it copycat. And the reason why I say that is because they see what we do in the States.
Right.
And I feel like they just copy. To bring it back to what Natalia was referencing is, and I love the fact that she said, no, it doesn't matter, because it gives me hope. Mm-hmm. When someone says, no, come, I'm confident that you will be treated as a human. Whereas, and I know it feels shitty for me to say it, you know, where I feel certain places, even far east where people don't look like me, I will feel a little bit more comfortable because I've done it before. When I again, lived in Germany and I went out to Dresden and Potsdam, all the very eastern part of Germany, where there are still, you know, some bad people still there, and so on. And my German friends were like, why would you go there, come back at 2 o'clock in the morning walking? Are you crazy? Like, they were fearing for me, but I was like, there was nobody out on the streets. And I would not have done that in certain places in America.
But
I literally felt more safer. And I don't know if it's because I know my chances of surviving is a little bit better because they just don't have the same gun laws or whatever it may be. Now, don't get it twisted, and I hope the audience don't get it twisted. I'm not telling, being political.
Condoning them to go out.
Yeah, I'm not being political. It's just that it's something that I experienced and I continue to experience. Even France, Paris, where it's you know, there are some issues here and stuff like that and crime here.
Sure.
But it's not uncomfortable like in certain places in New York City or something like this. So I'm taking her up on that option to go.
I wonder if it's not uncomfortable for you because you are American and you're not an African immigrant. I do feel like there is animosity because there's a lot of illegal African immigrants that come in and are just stay illegally. And I think that is a huge problem that France is dealing with, which is why they have some of those difficult laws to gain citizenship.
Yeah. So it's really difficult. I do want to, I'm hoping to maybe this summer after the Olympics, go and visit Natalia in her hometown, because I to be able to enjoy the culture there.
Yeah. Like I don't know if you guys noticed too, towards the end when she was speaking in her video, it's like she was challenging her own country. Cause she specifically said her country needed to come to terms with diversity. So that's why she wanted you to come, because more people need to come so that her country can come to terms with that and know what that is.
Absolutely.
Because they weren't diverse, which again, very refreshing.
I agree. And that's that's what made me feel, when I say I feel a little bit more comfortable, because people are more, I feel like they're more accepting to wanting to learn from me and learn from our ideas and stuff like this, and not so much, you know, because I'm an American, but because of just me. They're looking at me and they're saying, oh, you're from New York. Like, when I say that, I don't see them saying, oh, you're a Black person from New York.
I
see them saying, you're from New York. Wow, that's cool.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the reason we're starting this podcast, is to talk about these types of things, to get different people on the show, experience their perceptions. Where are we similar? Where do we need to do some work? And where are we ignorant? Because we know that we you know, we have perceptions as Americans when we travel as well. Yes. So we hope to discuss these issues over the next however many podcasts, however many
this
years.
Is exciting.
Yes,
it is. Very, very. Yeah. I'm so excited. This is so great.
And hopefully I'm not too cray cray when I'm doing this. And no. Stuff like that. Sorry, I'm going to have my little slangy words in there. So don't be mad at me.
It's fine. We've come to love you.
We thank everyone for listening to our first podcast. We hope that you enjoyed it and that you'll come back for another episode. So please leave feedback for us, leave comments, and subscribe. Definitely.
Yes, subscribing is the most important part, which will be great. And I think to add on to what you said, Benef, to leave the comments, because the next episode, we will definitely try to either input those into our discussion, and then also, of course, answering them as we get them because this will help us
in a future episode.
Yes, episodes. It will definitely help us to be able to get our topics going, and because we want topics of what the audience rather want to hear from us, of course, with our stuff too as well.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Get